Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
You would think after all these times that I've done communion that it still means a lot to me because of what we remember. So Paul tells us in Corinthians that this is at their Last Supper, and there's so much has gone on. You can read in the book of John of so much that Jesus told them about leaving and who they would be and what they would encounter, but that everything was going to be okay. And then he says, after he gave thanks, he took bread and he broke it. And he said that this was his body. And as I said a little bit ago, a body that was broken and beat, was broken so that we could be whole. We could be whole. So please take that element. And in the same way, he took the cup, and it's a symbol, yes, but it's a symbol of the blood that he shed. And like I've said, from the crown of thorns to the nails on his feet, he shed every drop of blood that he had in him, that blood that covers all your sins. That because of that, we can come boldly to the throne of God, because now we can approach Him. So please take the cup. And just take a moment before you sit down. Just take a moment and remember. And just remember some of those words that he said. Simple word, finished. Okay? And what does that mean? No more to be done. He did it all for you. Don't carry anything that he's already taken. Don't give it. Don't give your junk back to him. He's already paid for it. He already paid for it. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.
Okay.
As you can tell, the Holy Spirit's here. As you can tell, that there's going to be signs and wonders today. As you can tell, that come with a spirit of expectation, because he's here, and know that the glory of God is around you, and that there's angels around this place. And it starts off with worship. So look at worship being something different than you've ever have. Have expectations of God touching you in your mind, body, and your spirit. So, and then we're having the message, and it comes together, and it's going to be amazing. So look for the amazements.
You know, in John 15, it talks about, I want to give you exact. But it talks of Jesus is actually talking about abiding in him. And in it's 15:4, he says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. See, the abiding is so important in our life. It's where we get built up. It's where he loves on us. It's where he shows us new things, gives us new things. See, that's the thing. It doesn't matter where you're at in your life. That, if you read that full chapter, that first part actually talks about how he prunes so that I will produce more. You know what I mean? And that's the thing, is that it doesn't matter whether you're in your highs or your lows. The abiding is so important. Because it's where God really builds us. It's where he teaches us. It's where he shows us who he is. We talk so much about the relationship, right? The ability for us to be able to go to God and know who he is on our own. And that's where you build that relationship, is in the abiding. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, I just want to go back to, can you put the words up for the first verse? This first verse, I just want you to take it as yours, because blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire time after time.
Amen.
Born of his spirit and washed of his blood. What he did for me on Calvary is more than enough.
Yes.
See, this is the abiding that I was talking about. The spending time knowing who he is, because you do have an assurance in him, right? That every single thing that you come at, every single thing that comes at you, that he's already prepared you. Because while you spend time with him, he helps you with the pressing forward, right? See, it should never be a worry on our own. If you're worried, you're not trusting. You haven't put it in his hands. Whew, I felt that. If you are stressed out, if you're worried, if you're holding on to something, allow him to take it. Because when you put it in his hands, the Bible tells us what? All things work together for good for those who love God. See, and that's the thing, is if we allow him to take things that we so often hold on to so tightly, we'll see that even if it's not what we thought would happen with it, that what he does with it is for good. And it's better than anything that we could ever do on our own. Somebody was talking to me last week, because we talked about, God gave me a word for somebody who felt unqualified. Can I tell you that sometimes being unqualified puts you in the best position with God? Because where we get in the way sometimes is here, right? Thoughts, emotions, all of those things. Oh, it shouldn't work that way because I think it should work this way. But see, that's the thing, is it doesn't matter. Because what we got to learn to do is just 100% place it in his hands all the time, regardless of whether it makes sense or not. Because he tells us that he makes us more than a conqueror. We don't make ourselves more than a conqueror. It's him in us. See, and that's the thing, is that you being unqualified, perfect. Because I can tell you that when God told me you're going to be a worship leader, I felt like the most unqualified person in the room. But that's the thing, is that God taught me so much about how anything we can do is not even close to how effective we can be when we allow God to do it all. Every single last part. See, you want to minister to the person next to you. You want to be effective in the world you're living in. Then go after God. It's the simplest and easiest thing. But what happens is that we get in the way, and that's what makes it difficult. Just go after him. Because he knows what the people around you need. He knows what you need better than you do. Hallelujah. So let's go back into this verse and just raise your voices and give a gift. That's all I can say is just allow yourself to give. Even if it's just lifting your hand, whatever you're feeling comfortable with, just allow God to move. Surrender it all.
Church, I just have a short word that the Lord just gave me. And it's just to, you know, tell you that when you came to the Lord, you became God's temple. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit dwells in you. When you have that, you have everything. Doesn't matter what you're going through. Doesn't matter what things you have to just get through, the trials, the tribulations. Doesn't matter. Because when you have him, you have wisdom. You have answers to whatever it is that you need. And he is with you. And he will, if you just allow him to draw you near him, if you will allow him to tell you and direct your path, he will take care of every detail. All you got to do is obey and listen to his voice. So have a great week.
Yesterday at the men's retreat, we were praying for some brothers, and a brother wanted more of the Holy Spirit. And Pastor Ochoa was telling him, well, the more you feed into him, the more he will feed into you. And I got a vision at that very moment. And that vision was a thunderstorm. I don't know how many of you know this, but in a thunderstorm, there's a great rising in the middle of the thunderstorm. And that rising rises up thousands and thousands of feet, sometimes as far as 60,000 feet in the air. And it comes out and it pours out. That's why you see the mushroom on a thunderstorm that's starting to occur. And it pours out. The more you feed into God, the more pouring out that'll come out of the top, the more roar that'll happen, the closer you'll be to God. And the funniest thing about that is then the Lord showed me, coming out of that thunderstorm is not only rain, which represents the Holy Spirit, but sometimes when you pour in hard enough, hail starts coming out and flies out as many as 20 miles in each direction. That's you with the power of God in you. How many of you know hailstorms can be destructive? You can destroy the works of the enemy by feeding into God. And as you feed into him, the more power and destruction you have to the enemy. Do you understand? Amen. That thunderstorm is like the tree of life. It's shaped like the tree of life. And when you pour into God, he'll pour into you, and out comes the fruit out of you. That's all I have. Thank you.
God is so awesome. Isn't he connecting the dots here? Abiding in him, pouring into him. It's all the same message. The more we love him, the more we are directed by him, the more he speaks to us, things that we need to hear, things that we know we'll know how to manage in our lives, things that we're trying to do ourselves that we can't do. He's got it all. He's got it all. He's got our back. He took our back when he took those nails into his hands, into his feet, and he took the cross for us. He took abuse. He took everything that a human could ever take. and he took it. He could have gave up his life, but he didn't. Not until the moment that he said to his father that it was time, that he released his last breath and went to heaven. And he did it all for us. All for us. And I was directed to go to Isaiah 56, 6 and 7. And being senior, I'm going to put my glasses on first. So, Isaiah 56, 6 and 7. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds it fast, my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be kept on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. That's what we do when we abide. We pray. We pray to him, and we hear him, and he speaks his loving words. He's awesome. To him be the praise and glory. Amen.
I've got a testimony that I want to share with you guys. My son was in an accident, and thank God he wasn't injured, but the other person got hurt pretty bad. And I've been praying and praying and praying for the person in the hospital to get better, for my son to get saved, and for him to realize that God does exist. And just like Rebecca was saying, we have to have a relationship with God and pray to him. And I've been praying and praying, and there was this one day last week that I was washing dishes, and he just said, hey, you got to get down on your knees and you have to pray. So I went into the living room, I got on my knees, I started worshiping, and then all of a sudden I started weeping and weeping like a baby. And he started cleansing me, and he started washing me with his holy blood. And believe it or not, brothers and sisters, court date came. God is good. God is good. They told my son that it was dismissed, that everything was dismissed. So now I'm praying for the person in the hospital that I went and I prayed for him. I laid hands on him. God is going to heal him. As a matter of fact, he's already healed. He is already healed. God is going to get him up of that bed, hospital bed. He's going to make him walk, because God is full of miracles. He can move mountains. So praise God, everybody. Praise God and keep this person, both my son and the person in the hospital, keep them in your prayers, please. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Hello. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. One of the things that God wants me to tell you, he wants a personal relationship with you. You're hearing all these stories. You're hearing about different people, but he's saying, I want a personal relationship with you. That's why we're all different. Don't look at your neighbor and think I want to be like them, because God's saying, I have something special for you.
Amen.
He doesn't want you to be like your neighbor. He wants you to be who you were created to be. And he says, how can we have a personal relationship if you're looking at somebody's relationship that I have with them? No, it's you and him, and only you and him. It cannot be anybody else involved. It has to be. And whenever you spend time with him, whenever he will tell you what you need. And it is so awesome, because he loves you so much and that he wants to be there. So don't look at anybody. Don't look at any pastors. Don't look at anybody other than him. Keep your eyes on him and that relationship. It's like with a husband and a wife. If I didn't pay attention to what my husband was saying, then I wouldn't have a relationship with him. I have a relationship with my husband, and that's how God wants to do it with you. He wants to have a personal relationship. Okay.
Good morning, church. Could I just read two verses? And I want to start with, I want to thank the Lord for Rebecca.
Rebecca?
And her gift of worship, and her as a wife and a mother and a daughter. I want to thank the Lord for Sister Linda as well. And I want to thank the Lord for my husband, who this morning was closer to the Lord than I am. And all I could do was cry out. And I think Psalms 91 is going to hit the spot. Explain, if you'll fit in your name of the person you're praying for. When I say he, it is 91:14. Because he, and you put the name of the person, so I'm going to say Stephen Paula Joy, hold fast to the Lord in love. The Lord will deliver Stephen Paula Joy. So you put the name in there in that blank, and you can do this for yourself. The Lord says, I will protect, and then fill in the blank, because that person knows the name of the Lord. 15, when that person comes and calls to me, meaning the Lord will answer. And I, meaning the Lord, will be with him or her in trouble. I will rescue him or her and honor him. And 16 is the most powerful for me personally. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him or her salvation. So if you'll be satisfied with the Lord, if he is enough, if your blessing comes from him, and what happens is you keep your eyes on Jesus and you know the blood of Jesus is enough and your past is gone, you will find you will be lighter, you know, burdens light, and you'll be whiter than snow, and you will flow because you'll be empty. And the Holy Spirit I saw was flowing in this morning, heavy and thick. As much as you want, you can have the Holy Spirit because, you know, God is love.
Hello, everybody. Come on, man. Hey, At first I said, you know, Pastor John, you go ahead and introduce him. But then as I was sitting there, I said, you know, I'm going to introduce this brother of mine. Come on up here, Cesar. Come on here. This is Pastor Cesar Ochoa. Yeah. I kid you not. The first time I met Pastor Ochoa, he was sleeping in my house. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that right? Do you remember that? See, my Ruben Posada was a friend of mine, and he was always over at my house. And then he found out that Cesar needed a place to stay. Mm-hmm. So he told Cesar, he goes, hey, man, go over to Mrs. Ayala's house. She'll let you stay there. So I get home, and I go, who's that? That's Cesar. We should call him Caesar.
No.
No. Yeah. But I'll tell you, this guy, it was crazy. My little brother wasn't real happy about him being there because he had taken over his bed. Yeah, and remember that. Yeah, and then we got that straightened out. And then one day, we were living in Bisbee, you're living in Hills, and we were just teenagers. All right? Teenagers, right?
15.
So that would make me 16. That would have made me 12. I'm just kidding. Now we're in the same class. But we decided to take a shopping cart, and these guys put me in it. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. And this is a mountain town. Mm-hmm. And I said, all right, you guys, hey, just take care of me, man. And then.
Yeah, right.
They were supposed to hold on to it, but they pushed me, and I'm going down in the shopping cart, and I turn around, and they're standing up on the top of the hill.
That was funny.
That was funny. But Pastor Cesar has been a blessing in my life. When he got saved, a few years later, I got saved. And we'd go to California, and we would just drop by. How do you like it when people just drop by? Hey, We need a place to stay. Not right, Rosie? Rosie goes, no, we got to go to a hotel. Uh-uh, he did it at my house. I'll do it at his house. We'll just drop by. Come on, man. Gloria, I'm sorry. Yeah. But it was called revenge. But then I found out that the Lord says that it belongs to him. So, but ladies and gentlemen, I just want you to just sit back, lean forward, and listen. Because Pastor Cesar has a message for us this morning. Can you say amen? Mijo, I love you. All right, go. I love you.
Boker Tov. Who knows what that is? That's how you say good morning in Hebrew. Boker Tov. Oh, jeez. I'm going to try this again. Boker Tov. That means good morning. Somebody says good morning, you say good morning. Let's try this again. Boker Tov. All right. You can all become citizens of Israel now. Thank you for allowing us to come. I am very, very excited. I have been excited for a long time since Pastor asked me to come and share. And I am honored today by having my wife, Gloria, to be with us, my son, my daughter-in-law, Lacey, Elliot, and of course, Eliana. For those of you that know them, I am honored that my family is here and are supportive. I'm also honored that I have two wonderful, beautiful people from Sierra Vista that I've had the honor to speak into their lives, and that would be Jimmy and Janet. Bishop, thank you for being here. And so, yes, amen. I am very grateful. Oh, church.
Sorry.
All right.
Okay, I'm up.
Thank you. Thank you, Caesar.
Come on, I'll walk with you.
No, I'm good, man.
All right. Father, we thank you for keeping him from getting hurt. He's hitting his knee, Father. I'm asking you in the name of Yeshua, grace and mercy. Grace and mercy.
Thank you, Lord.
I've seen you do this many times throughout the years. Mm-hmm. So I ask you now, in the presence of this congregation, that we all be in one heart, one spirit, one agreement, grace and mercy for my hermano.
Yeah, yeah.
That his body, Lord God, may have not sustained any injury whatsoever.
Thank you.
And I thank you for it. In the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Good. Amen. So I am grateful for those that have come. You know, I got to tell you, though, that I was 16 years old. And what Pastor is saying is I was on my own. I left Hawaii. I was there for a few months, and it's her fault that I came back. I missed her. I had already met her when I went to Hawaii to live there, and I just got away from home. Things were not well at home, and so I kind of like went away and no ideas for you youngsters. Okay, I just left. Anyhow, so when I was back in Bisbee, this is what I ended up. Over Lupe Ayala, which is Pastor Henry's mom, allowed me to stay there. And that's what he was talking about. And so I was there for quite a bit of time until I got my own apartment at the age of 16. So I the Lord's given me the honor to be, and I call it the honor, to be on my own for quite some time. It hasn't been easy. A lot of things that I learned the hard way through hard knocks. Been through a lot. The Lord, because I had already known my wife at the time, my girlfriend, she was a gift, very mature woman, and I was still very much a child. And the Lord used her little that I realized that I was going to spend the rest of my life with her. We've been married 53 years, right? 53 years we've been married. A milestone, I would say. Because of the times that we're in, church, the challenges that we are faced as a congregation of God, I want to tell you something. I want to bare my heart with you. And I wrote these thoughts on paper. But I think that it is important, very important, that the congregation of the Lord understand that Yahweh will allow us to face the greatest challenges of our life, as much as we love a good taco enchilada and chile relleno with rice and beans dinner, there are times we have to settle for a bologna sandwich. And there are times when Yahweh, our Father, will allow us to go through seasons that we have to face adversity. We don't like that message. We don't want to hear. We like the, I'm going to bless you. I want to lift you up. I want to give you my power, and the Spirit of the Lord shall be upon. We love that, and rightfully so, because that is the Father's heart. But the fact of the matter is that there are times where He Himself will allow us to face adversity, as I mentioned. And if you haven't noticed, church, we are in a spiritual battle right now where we find ourselves in this age. We are in a spiritual battle, and I'm going to tell you something. It will intensify as we get closer to the return of the Lord. It will intensify. But I can tell you this, He is coming back. Amen. He is coming back. If I could have the first scripture out there, I want you to see it. It is on 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. Well, it's actually verse 14. Verse 14. Is that verse 4? If I can have that, please. Otherwise, I'll go here. I was hoping to have it in the Living Bible. I did that on purpose, but listen to this. This is really good. Chapter 4, beginning with verse 14. Okay. Watch out. This is really good. We believe that Jesus Christ died and He rose again. Somebody say amen. Amen. I love a loud church. I'm going to say this again. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And that we also believe that God will bring Yeshua, those who have fallen asleep in Him. Come on. According to the words, the Lord's own word, we tell you what we also know, that we who are still alive, we who are left, listen, till the coming of the Lord, we will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself, listen to this, for the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the shofar call of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Woo! He is coming back. We need to hear more of that. We've lost that message somewhere in the decades of the church. There was a time when all we heard about is that Yeshua is coming back. And now, listen, and when He comes back, He is looking for a pure and a holy church. He is looking for a people that will not compromise the goodness of the Word of God, that will not compromise the kingdom of heaven's call into our lives. Amen. He is looking for a pure people. Amen. If you're playing around, you're in trouble. I'll explain it to you in a little bit. In fact, I shared it with the guys, I think it was on Friday night, maybe even Saturday morning. But I want to tell you something. Listen to my heart. You don't know me. Some of you have no idea. But I am not ashamed of the gospel. And I will preach it in its fullness of meaning. Woo! Hallelujah. Somebody, hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I want you to know this. No matter what we're faced with, there's more on our side.
Amen.
There's more on our side than the devil's side. Yes. There's more on our side according to the scripture. And I'm going to tell you something else. The liberal and the progressive interests that are opposing the congregation of God, they will lose this battle against God's people. Amen. Yeshua promises that the gates of hell will not be able to stop the overpowering move of God as they go against the things of this world. They will not stop us. We will win.
Amen.
And we will not back down.
No.
Amen.
I mean, somewhere along in your life, you're going to have to make a decision. I am in the opposing. I am in the offensive. I'm not on the defensive. I'm not fighting the devil. Ay, me está pegando el diablo. Come on, get off it. Get. You are in the offensive where we are attacking the things of the kingdom. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against what? The powers and the principalities of the air. Listen, we fight on our knees. And you get involved and you vote and you write to the school PTA, you write to your congressman. My Lord, too many of us are too casual about what's happening to us, and we love to complain when we get together for a dinner and we like to talk about Kamala Harris and we make fun of her. But when was the last time you got involved? If you don't get involved, you have no right to complain about Trump or Harris. The church must stand against the onslaught of the enemy, and we will move forward. We will win.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to do this again. Unless you don't believe that we'll win, then I understand you not responding. But if you really believe that we will win because you will be involved, I'm going to say this again, and I'll expect some kind of response. We will win.
Yeah.
We're not going to back down. I am not going to back down.
Nope.
Write to your congressman. Write to your representatives in Washington. Get involved. Do something besides complain and criticize. But I want to tell you something else, that in the midst of all this training, while we are here on earth, we're in training. We're in boot camp right now. But there will be seasons while we're here where Yahweh will transport us to this place that the Bible calls the Valley of Dry Bones.
Amen.
We didn't like that, did we? I'm going to say this again. Thank you, hermano. Man, you're in the spirit. Praise God. Anyway, he will transport us into this place that the Bible calls in the book of Ezekiel the Valley of Dry Bones. It's a place of hardship. It is a place of heartbreaks. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
It is a theme that we don't want to hear about, but I'm going to tell you something. It is a theme that you will read about in the scripture time and time again. God will lead us, his people, to face the impossible.
Yes.
For a lot of us, when we are faced with the impossible, we fold. And we go to God and we say, why me, Lord? What have I done? Why me, God? And then the enemy will come in and he'll say, like in a board of chess, he'll look at you and he'll hear you complain. And you're asking God, why me, Lord? What did I do? And he'll say, checkmate. I got you. You're done. Woho boo-hoo is me. Woe is me, God. Come on, church. I want to give you a message today that should give you a boost in the things of the kingdom. Listen. Here's the thing. When the enemy comes in and he speaks to you and he says to you, checkmate, God always has another move.
Woo!
It is not checkmate for you. Stop being a victim. You're not a victim. You're alive in Christ, man. You are the righteousness of God, that God has lifted up with his spirit, and you live forevermore to worship the Lord and serve him with power and authority.
Yes.
So act like it.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
You hear you say amen.
Amen.
I can calm down if you want. But here's the thing. God intervenes. I love this. I love when he does that. Today's message, You are the chess piece in his hand for the miraculous. You see, here's the thing. Are you ready? Watch out. You are on an assignment. You have a mandate. And that mandate is to set people free.
Yes. Amen.
We go around looking. Who's speaking? Oh, Mr. Wonderful speaking is speaking. And we need to go hear him because he's got the word of the Lord. Oh, we got to go to this place. He loves to give a word. I want a word from God. Let me tell you something. You're always going around looking for an atmosphere where you can feel God. Listen, sweetheart, I'm going to tell you something. You are an atmosphere.
Yes.
You are an atmosphere center. You don't have to go around looking for it. You be it. You're a carrier of the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You don't have to go around looking for it. You be it. He has endowed you with the Holy Spirit. He has endowed you with power.
Amen.
Yes.
I mean, it's okay to go listen to speakers. I love that. But don't let that be your priority. Your priority is Yeshua. Yeshua alone. Come on.
Amen.
Woo! Yeah. Pastor, which pastor? I can put my glasses on. I can find them. Pastor, where you at? Somebody going to read Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 10. Huh? You forgot? I'll read it. It's okay, man. Watch out, que padre. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. The Lord took a hold of me. And I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley that was filled with bones. Come on. And he led me all around amongst the bones that covered the valley floor. If you can imagine this in your mind, I have a picture that's going to come up in just a little bit. And they were scattered everywhere across the ground. And they were completely what? And they were completely dried out. Come on. Then he asked me, son of man, or actually son of dust, can these bone become living people again?
Yeah.
Smart man. He answered correctly. Watch out. Oh, sovereign Lord, I replied, you alone know the answer. See, we don't assume anything with God. We take him for his word. We don't assume anything else outside of that. And this man knew that whatever God spoke, that was it. And he says, oh, sovereign Lord, you alone know the answer to that. Come on, man. Listen, then he said to me, I think you're saying, okay, then speak to these dry bones.
Amen.
You have a mandate. Speak to these dry bones.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I like that. This is what the sovereign Lord told. Says, look, I am going to put breath into you. That's what Ezekiel needed to say to these bones. He is prophesying the words of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am going to put breath into you, and I'm going to make you live again.
Hallelujah.
Come on. Come on. I love that. Was that 37 already? Probably not. I will put flesh and muscles on you, and I will cover you with skin. Woo! I'll put you some skin. I'll put yellow skin, brown skin, black skin, all kinds of red skin, but I will put that skin on you, and you shall be my servant no matter what kind of skin I put on you. Come on.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I spoke the message just as the Lord told me. I love those suddenly moments in my life. Don't you just love those suddenly moments in your life? Because you know, you don't always know what that's going to bring. Ay, Lord. I would say, ay, Diosito. Anyway, suddenly, as I spoke, there was a what? A rattling noise. Can you imagine that? Clack, 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 all over. And it echoed through the valley. The bones of each came together. Oh, that's good.
Hallelujah.
I like that. That's you. Speak to those bones.
Yeah.
A prophetic message to the winds. Son of man. Speak. I'm looking right at you. Speak a prophetic message.
Amen.
And say this. Is there any more? Come together and attach themselves as complete skeletons. Come on.
Yeah.
And as I watched the muscles and the flesh form over the bones, then the skin formed over the bodies, but they still had no breath. And then he said to me, speak. A prophetic message to the winds, son of man, speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath. Somebody say that with me. Come, O breath. You're the prophet. You're the messenger.
Yes.
I'm not the dry bones.
Nope.
You're not the dry bones.
Nope.
You're the prophet that'll speak to the dry bones of people around your life.
Amen.
Oh, come on, breath.
Yes.
From the four winds. Breathe.
Amen.
Into these dead bodies so that they may live again.
Amen.
And so I spoke the message as he commanded me. And breathe, breath. Came into their bodies. They all came to life.
Yes.
And stood up on their feet and became a great army. Come on, man.
Woo!
Here God is giving a prophetic picture to the prophet Ezekiel, that in this context, here's what was happening. For those of you who don't know, the children of Judah, which is part of Israel, let me tell you something, had been taken captive by the Babylonians, and they have been taken into Babylon, modern day Iraq, by the way. And as a result, why? Of their sin of idol worship. How does God look at idols? Not good? If you let fear come into your life, if you allow self-confidence, you think you're all muy suave, you know, and you don't need God, that's an idol. If you let fear stop you from moving forward, well, I don't know that I can, because, you know, that's not me. Oh, please. You're right. That is not you. That's why greater is he in you than you, little bit of you. He will cause you to get the Spirit of God going in you and start speaking the Word of God like it's supposed to be.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Don't let idols in your life. Don't let fear come into your life.
That's it.
Well, I don't. Oh. You're born again. Now, if you're here and you're not born again, yeah, then you are that person. Oh, woe is me. I'm not making fun of you. I'm just telling you who you are. You can get mad at me. Just don't walk out because the message is great. All these people were involved and they were guilty of idol worship. Now, because of that, they had come under bondage. Watch this. Well, they had come under bondage. They lost their land. They lost their livelihoods. Come on. They lost the temple. And they find themselves in an impossible situation. The nation of Israel. Whew. Was in deep weeds. A nation coming back was hardly likely for them. Anybody ever felt that way? Anyone ever felt defeated? Anyone here ever felt like you just want to give up? I have been in the place where I contemplated suicide because I faced my darkest hours in my life. And then God. And then God. He brought my wife beside me and said, "You're going to make it. I forgive you." My son, the one standing in the back, says, "Dad," he opened the door. I was in the bedroom, which I did every day. I didn't come out. I don't know how long. He says, "Dad," I asked him yesterday if he remembered the day before. He goes, "You okay?" I said, "Yeah, I'm all right, son. I'm okay." He said, "Dad, me and you, yeah, we're like this, right?" "Yeah, we're like this." God will bring someone right along. Have you ever felt like that? He will bring someone. Listen to them. They can be the most important people in your life, or they can be the least important in your life. But God would use an Ezekiel to speak to the dry bones in your life. No matter what you're going through. Why? Because God sees you as important enough. I was telling the guys over the weekend, when Yeshua was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, do you remember that he told the Father, "I'm not sure I want to go through this"? You remember that part? This is how I view him. This is how I see him. He looked over in, what's your name?
Dan.
Dan. Yeshua looked over. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was talking and praying to the Father. He was sweating drops of blood mixed with his sweat. But then he said, he looked into the future. He looked into that place that we call today the 21st century, and he saw Dan, and he said, "But he's worth it. I will do it. I will do it just for you." That's the love of the Father. Hi. How old are you?
11.
What's your name?
Burla.
Can you stand up for a moment? Father, what's your name?
Burla.
Come.
Burla.
I'm just kidding. You don't know what I heard. Stand up. No. Precious Father, my Lord, my God. I'm going to tell you, have you, watch this. You're going to be facing some challenging moments as you get older. But I want you to remember this, that God is on your side. He's going to strengthen you, and he is going to raise you up above all the people around you. He's going to raise you up, and they're going to look at you, and they're going to see you different. They're going to see they want, you got something they want and they desire. But listen to me, you're going to have to make some hard choices that it is the Lord that you will serve. Because if you don't, then you will fall victim to woe is me. But if you remember this word that the Lord says, "I will pour my spirit into you, and I will make you a giant in this land, and many will come to me because of you." Yes. Is this okay?
Yes.
It's okay. Orale pues. And so God, you know, what's happening here, God is using the dry bones analogy to explain the spiritual state of Judah or the nation of Israel. Now, think about the fact that these bones were dry.
Right.
You got that? You see that up there?
Yeah.
Look at here. You see that?
Yeah.
They're dry.
Yeah.
I mean, I eat chicken, and when I'm done with that bone, it ain't got no juice in it.
Hallelujah.
And those bones are drier than when I'm done with a chicken bone.
Man, there you go.
I mean, everything in that bone is gone.
Yep.
Next. These bones were dry. They had no life in them whatsoever. You can see that in the picture. I searched through the whatever, you know, images for Valley of Dry Bones, and I really like this one. You see, we're not talking about dead bodies, church. We're not talking about dead bodies that needed breath. We're talking about flesh being stripped away. We're talking about bones lying in a dry desert. Come on, somebody. Yeah. We're talking about bones. Who knows how long they've been that way, but they were dry. They were lifeless. They were scattered. Absolutely. It was definitely an impossible situation. In verse 3, I love the word Ezekiel. You know, when the Lord says, hey, can these things live? These bones live? Only you know. Only you can know they live. Only you know. I don't know. He didn't assume anything. Too many charismatics assume too much that it's the Spirit of God. And God told me, and then we go around telling everybody what God said. Man, you better know that it's God. Don't take it for granted just because you're charismatic and you're led of the Holy Ghost. You better know that it's God. Because when people hear you, they believe you. And if it's just you being religious, you can hurt somebody. Am I okay so far? Okay. I love this man. I love his wife. Rosie, I tell you, I remember Rosie was okay for a while. Let me tell you. I mean, we were, Henry and I and Ruben, I mean, we were tight. Remember? With Johnny Chavez and his what was it, a 55, 57 Chevy, that orange one, man. I mean, we were tight, man. And then here comes Rosie. Where's Henry? I don't know. Oh, there he goes with Rosie. Henry! He look at us and go, look at him today. Isn't that amazing? God is a miraculous God. Come on. I love you, Rosie. I always have. I always have. And Ruben can tell you, I used to talk behind your back a lot. And we always said you were perfect for this man. But what we prayed for, listen to this. When I was in the Catholic Church. So when I used to go to the Catholic Church, I was an altar boy. And I would, believe it or not, imagine me being an altar boy. Anyway, I would pray that he would be a good man for you. And look at him today. You see, it wasn't about being Catholic, not non-Catholic. It was about faith. God heard my faith and heard the prayer of faith when we prayed that Henry would be a good man for Rosie. That's right, baby. When I got saved when we get saved, huh? 1979, was it? 1979, January 79. The person that led us to Christ, the first thing he asked me was, and so now we're going to learn to pray. I said, yeah, man, I'll take it. He says, what is the first thing you want to pray about? I want to pray for the salvation of this friend of mine, Henry Ayala and Ruben Posada. And that's how he taught me to pray, by praying for their salvation. I don't know how long it was before you called me up and you told me you were born again and that you were working on Ruben. I don't know if Ruben's here today or not, but I'm going to tell you something. I prayed for this couple for a couple of years or a year before you got saved. You got saved right after we did. Yes. Right after, yeah. There you go, months. And when I heard that he got saved and they were working on Ruben, cha-ching. Because that's what we're praying for. Amen. Here is Pastor, and both of them pastor the church. Prayers work.
Amen.
Prayers work. So I'm going to say this to you. I want to point out to you that this prophetic utterance and that picture up there is not a prophetic picture of you or I. If you are truly born again in this room, then we are the body of Christ, are victorious. We are victorious in Him. We are the righteousness of Christ in Him. Even in the midst of trouble, 1 John 5:4, it tells us that every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith in Him. Being persuaded that we win.
Yeah.
I am not a victim.
That's it.
Woe is me. The devil beating me up. He ain't got no power over you except the power you give him.
That's it.
He ain't got no power except the one that goes unchallenged by you. He's being stripped of all power. Don't go around saying, oh, the devil beat me up. You believed a lie. I don't mind telling you, being honest with you, that is not true. You are not a victim. Jesus Christ stripped them of every power, of every demon, of every devil, and he made Amen. You what? The righteousness of God through him.
Amen.
So what if you're under attack? I'm going to give you the answer in just a minute here. What if you are under attack? Well, see, what we need to learn is we have to be persuaded that it's about perspective. And his perspective becomes our perspective. And so we see life from his perspective. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. No. It says, despite all these overwhelming things that come against you, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Let the devil take his best shot. I shop him. Woo! I win. I win. I will. Yeah, Lord. I stand on you. He said, well, you're not in my shoes. Well, I'm not. I don't have to be. I just know the word. In February, I was diagnosed with cancer. Do I look like I have cancer? I was diagnosed with cancer. That's in February. My family started praying. My sons in San Diego, California, they started praying. My son right here and his family, Lacey, and the kids, they started praying. My wife, unceasing, unrelenting, ungiving up intercessor that she is, started praying. One day we were going to Phoenix. We were going to the airport and my son's car. And it was my son and my nephew who were going to take. He's going to go back to Oregon. It was Gloria and I and Eliana. Where's Eliana? I don't have my glasses anyway. It was behind me and she wrapped her arm around my neck because I was in a lot of pain still. That's how I found out I had cancer. And she wrapped her arm around my neck and she said, Papa, I got something to tell you. You remember that, mija? I don't know if you, are you there? Is she there?
Yeah.
I mean, you remember that? You remember you put your arm around my neck? And you remember what you said to me? You said, Papa, I believe the Lord just told me that he's going to take away the pain. He's going to take the pain today. He's going to take the pain away. You remember that? Yep. And she said, and that means you're healed. Come on, somebody.
Woo!
How old are you? Huh? How old are you then? 12, right? You know, because that wasn't that long ago. Let me tell you something. Where's she at? In May. Was it in May when I finally went back to the urologist after an MRI and all that, monograms, sonograms, bucograms, and all kinds of grams? He looked at it, I'd look at the chart, he'd look at the computer, and he said, sir, you have no cancer. You have no cancer. Your cancer is gone. You're going to receive your healing. I don't know why I said that, but anyway. If you have you been stricken with a disease? Have my wife pray for you. It'll be amazing. Anyway, God will come through.
Amen.
He will heal you.
Amen.
He'll comfort you. He'll take the pain away.
Yes.
So I know what I'm talking about. I know I can talk. I can say what I'm saying to you. This is the dry bones in your life. This is not you, and it's not me. Think about the fact that not even death can take away our hope. Not even death. When we deal with death, we deal with what seems to be a hopeless matter, situation. That's not what the Bible tells me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, watch out. And now, dear brothers and sisters, I want you to know what will happen to believers who have died, so that you will not grieve like people who have no hope. We deal with death differently, don't we? When they first told me that I had renal cancer, it was like somebody hit me on the gut, took the air out. And they took me back into that room where there was other people. They were all hooked up to machines. And the doctor said, you know, well, I'll be back in about an hour. And he left. I looked around at all these people. You know, they're all talking to each other privately. I said, chuck it, man. I got off that seat they gave me, and I got on my knees, land, and I began to worship the Lord. Lord, Lord God, we love you. I praise you. I worship you. Mighty and great is your name. Great is your faithfulness. Out loud. Out loud. And I started worshiping. You see, I didn't feel sorry for Cesar. I didn't worry about death. All I worried about is that Yeshua be given honor and glory. That was my focus. And so I tell you this, not to toot my own horn about how spiritual I am. No, if anything, I'm a dork. But listen, you can be just like that. No matter what news you get from work, from your coworkers, from the hospital, your doctor. Oh, God. My life belongs to you. Even until death. Because the moment I all close my eyes to kick the bucket, when I open them, there's Yeshua. Wow. Wow. Really? I don't deal with death like the world. I am encouraged even until death. So you see, these bones cannot possibly represent us. We are not the dry bones in that valley of Ezekiel chapter 37. Those bones could not possibly represent you or I. Why? Because we ain't dead. We're alive in Christ. Come on, somebody. The Word of God tells us, watch this, in the Scripture. It says, come. Listen, the devil, the thief, comes only to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Yes, Jesus said that. But don't stop there, because then he said, I have come. That they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. That's who you are. That is who you are. You ain't no victim. You can if you want to. Oh, pobrecito. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
Come on. Let's give the Lord a give him a praise. You're alive in him. Yeah, give him a praise. Come on, applaud him. Applaud him. That's what praise means. Applaud him. You know what praise means? That means you give him compliment. Oh, I praise you, God. Well, then praise him. Oh, yeah, I praise you, Lord. God says, okay, I heard you. Praise me then. Oh, yeah, I pray. That's not praising him. Praising him is you start telling him how good he is. You start applying for his faithfulness. Come on. That's what praise is. Don't tell him you praise him and do nothing. When you praise, you applaud, you tell him how good he is, how faithful he is, how merciful he is. That's what praise is. We'll do this again. Let's praise him. Let's tell him. Tell him how good he is. Come on. We praise you, God. We honor you, God. You are worthy of praise and glorification, for you are a good God. You are a merciful God. Come on. That's what praise is. Don't just sit there and say I praise you? That's silly. I know somebody's going to get mad for me saying that, but prove me otherwise. I'm telling you what the scripture says, what praise looks like.
Yes.
I have come that they may have life.
Woo-hoo. Life.
That they may have it even more abundantly.
Amen.
That's where you are.
Yes,
you ain't no dead bones, man. You can if you want to, but you don't have to. 1 Corinthians 15:22, it says, as Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. So these dry bones cannot possibly represent you or I. See, we are alive in Christ. We are more, aren't we? We are more than conquerors. I gotta move on. I get too silly here. Listen, I want you to notice something about Ezekiel. When the Lord took him to the valley, listen. The valleys, if you didn't know this, but I know you scholars know this, so I'm probably speaking to almost 99.9999%. I know you know this. But valleys in the Bible represent hardship. It represents a place of challenge. In the Bible, in the valleys, come on, somebody. You will always know is they always talk about, especially in the Old Covenant, it's talking about a place where you are challenged with life and matters and all that. Oh. It represents dark times. Anyone ever been through those days?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're just like me. And some of you young bloods say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Man, life is good for me. You wait and see. Your day is coming. You serve the Lord or you don't serve the Lord. Those days are coming. And you're going to have a choice to call out to him or call out to your friends who know more, nothing more than you do. Hello, did I say that? That was a good statement.
Amen.
As dark as they may see, I'm going to tell you something. In Psalm 23, verse 4, even when I walk in the darkest of the darkest valley, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to worship you. Why? Because I know that you're close by me. You're right there next to me. Your rod and your staff. Come on, somebody, comfort me. So you have to believe that. Don't go around, you know, it's one thing to quote scripture, and you're so religious when you do. It's another thing to quote scripture that really sustains you. Because you allow it. You make it happen. It sustains you. I also made another comment yesterday. For too many of us, we just love to go around telling people how religious we are, how many scriptures we know. You can't even talk about the San Diego Padres. Anybody? Okay, anyway. Did they win last night, Jason?
They lost.
They lost? Okay, the Dodgers. Okay, yay for the Dodgers. And then we just have to talk about religion. Don't be religious. Somebody will talk to you about the Dodgers or the Padres. Padre fan.
Hey, Diamondbacks.
There. Oh, we are in Arizona. Okay, are the Diamondbacks. I thought we were in San Diego. Sorry. Yeah, okay, the Diamondbacks. Or the Cardinals. Here we go. Come on. Arizona Cardinals. See, I was able to see that without my glasses. That's good. Talk about the Cardinals. You know what? People start talking to me about sports. I love sports, but I don't know the stats, and I don't know the name of the players. So I just sit there smiling on my head. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, but if you choose to talk about Yeshua, that's my element.
Hallelujah.
But I will always give you a chance to talk.
All right.
I will always give you a chance to say your say, because I'm interested in you. I'm not interested in showing you how much I know. I'm interested in showing you how much I care about you. More than I'm interested in showing you how much I know. Come on, somebody, that's a good statement. That's peeling off, you know, las cáscara. How you say cáscara of religion, and get to the core of true relationship with the Master.
Hallelujah.
Come on. You're not a victim, church. Saints of God, you're not a victim. Okay, watch this. Let's go to the other Chichinye up there. Let's consider the valleys. Consider the valley of Elah. Is it up there? Yes. The valley of Elah. This is where David confronted Goliath, if you didn't know that. And you'll find this in 1 Samuel. I love this, man. In chapter 17. And you'll find that David confronts Goliath. Goliath, as we call it. So we will call this the valley of conflict. The next one, consider the valley of Achor. This is where Achan, remember Achan, poor guy, he hid stuff under the tent, you know, from Ai, the city of Ai. And when they discovered him, he was stoned to death for the consequence of his sin. And this is found in Joshua chapter 7, verse 26. And we'll call this the valley of consequence. Then I want you to consider the valley of Sodom. This is where Sodom and Sodom and Gomorrah, it is believed, or at least it's near this, Sodom. Sodom and Gomorrah were located. But I'm telling you, we do know this. Definitely we know this. This valley, according to scripture in Genesis, was full of pits of slime. It was a slime pit. Yeah. And so this is the valley of corruption. Then there's the valley of Eshkol. This is where some of the Israelites, yeah, y'all remember that story. This is where some of the Israelites, in fact, it was 2.5 tribes that when they were just about to cross over the Jordan River to go into the promised land that God had told them to go into, they saw the land, it was plush, you know, it's just like San Pedro River, you know, it's all dry, all of a sudden you got this streak of green. Why? Because San Pedro River is here, like when you go to Bisbee or Sierra Vista, and that's the way it was to them, except for there was vast land of green, plush, fertile land. And 2.5 tribes said, we want to stay here. And so, and they did. And God said, no one stay there. And they chose not to go into the promised land. Can I tell you something? No matter how good it is where you're at, there's always more on the other side of the river. If God says he wants to take you there, it's because there's more on the other side of the river. It is the land of milk and honey. Don't settle. I'm going to say that again. Do not settle. And we'll call this the valley of choice.
Yes.
The valley of choice. The last one. The valley of Kidron. I don't know if you know this, but in the scripture, it shows us in 2 Kings that it was a cemetery. I don't know that I have the scripture, but I think it's in chapter 23, verse 6. Oh. No, the next one. Sorry. Kidron. And just if you're taking notes, I don't have it here. 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 6. What do you think of cemeteries when you think of cemeteries? Death. Death. We'll call this the valley of crushing.
Crushing.
Okay. Consider that believers face these situations differently. We all have different personalities, different strengths. I understand that. But regardless, no matter where you are, I'm going to tell you something. When you and I face conflict, I need to remember that we have the Lord on our side. When we face conflict, we have more on our side than the world does and the devil does. When you face consequences, praise God, we have grace.
Yes.
We have his enablement. I know grace of unmerited favor. I know that. But you go to the Hebrew and the word grace means his enablement. He will enable you to do what he called you to do. That's what he was telling Paul. My enablement in your life will be enough to move forward and complete the mission I called you to do.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Is that okay so far?
Yes.
When you face corruption, watch out. He will give you grace, that same enablement, when you are faced with corruption. Now you got to make choices. What are you going to do? Go along? You want to fit in? Go ahead. Don't forget what I just said about consequences. And when you got to make choices, when you go through the valley of choices, watch this. Remembering about something that God did with me. He strengthened me.
Thank you.
Supernatural strength.
Thank you.
The joy of the Lord was my strength.
Ow.
And I had to make some choices. The valley of choice. We have the Holy Spirit to guide us, folks, in every single one of these when we go even through the valley of crushing. You're not alone when you go through the valley of crushing. We have the Holy Spirit. And if you can imagine just for a moment of going through, facing conflict in your life. I know I'm not the only one. But imagine going through conflict without refuge. Imagine going through consequences without God's grace. Just imagine it for a moment. Imagine going through the valley of corruption in your life. People all around you without the power to resist temptation. Choice without divine wisdom. Crushing without hope. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That is something that a lot of people around you are going through. And I'm getting to the meat of the story here. I'm almost done. I only got about 10 pages. Watch this. Just kidding. All right. Just kidding, Pastor. That was Ezekiel's dark situation. The Lord put him in a place where he saw hopelessness. He was taken to a place of dry bones. Those bones were impossible situation. And that's why I said, Lord, only you know. Only you know. Why? Because he knew that in Ezekiel's power, he couldn't, there's nothing he could do except obey and speak the word. Maybe you are taken into a valley. Oh, here we go. This is the best part. I couldn't wait to get to this part. I haven't been following my notes. I better follow them now. Anyway, maybe he has taken you into a place where it's been very difficult in your life. Maybe you were told also, like I was told, you have cancer. Your grandbaby is deathly ill. And only a miracle can save her. Maybe. And then what do we start doing? We start rebuking the devil. Why? He ain't got that much power. It could be that God's taking you through the crucible so that you can experience the purging fire of God in your life.
Amen.
And it should only draw you closer to him, not draw you away and blame it on the devil. It could be that God's trying to teach you something. If you're not a praying person, I bet you now that if you have a granddaughter that they tell you she is deathly ill, you're going to be on your face before God. Which normally, probably you would not. You would just play real casually for about 30 seconds before you go to bed. 30-second prayers. I hope you never pray for us with your 30-second prayers. Stand up, hon. It's okay. She's giving me that look. I see it already. I know she goes, do you guys hear that? Did you hear that? Stand up. I love you. If you ever turn on, let these folks see you up here. If you ever pray for us, please don't give us that 30-second prayer. Because what we're faced with in ministry requires more. God will answer your prayer if you truly intercede for your loved ones and for us, people that you know and that you love. Pray the prayer of faith. Religious people pray 5 seconds and 10 seconds at the most. God's people know the burden of the Father. And you will be thinking, me, huh? You know, I am going to get in trouble for that. I guarantee it. You know that, why, Mija? Yeah. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I know I said this already. It's real simple. You are not the dry bones in this prophetic narrative. You're not. You know who you are? You are the prophet of God to speak the word of God to people's lives. You are not the dry bones. And so maybe you've been taken to a valley. Maybe you're in the middle of that corruption. Maybe you're faced with a decision that you know, a decision that make you unpopular with the rest of your associates. I didn't say friends, because if they were for friends, they'll stand by you. When you have a true friend, they won't criticize you. Even when your decision is the opposite of theirs, a true friend will be a friend unto the end. But associates, they may criticize you. So don't worry, they criticize you because they're not your friend anyway.
Come on. Amen.
Thank God.
Choose your friends and choose them carefully.
Right.
And so maybe you're faced with these issues, crushing, valleys of crushing in your life. But I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me real carefully. You are facing an assignment. You are in an assignment from the kingdom of heaven. There's a job for you to do in the valley. There's someone, if you're in the valley, you're not alone. There is someone in that valley that needs the breath of God through you.
Amen.
That's why you're in there. That's your assignment.
Yeah.
Instead of going, oh, woe is me, and that devil beat. Oh, that's why I said earlier, stop.
Yeah.
There's always someone in a hopeless situation. God is taking you to that valley so that you may speak his prophetic word and take somebody and take them to the mountaintop.
Come on.
That's what we do. That's your assignment. That's your job. Oh, boy. You know, you can sympathize with them, and that's what we do as friends. When they hurt, you hurt. But you don't leave them there, do you? You don't leave them there. I'm going to hug you too, brother. Come on. Show me the love, man. Orale.
Orale.
You take them by the hand. You sympathize with them. You love on them. You minister to them. But that ministry is to get them out of that, and you bring them to the mountaintop. That's your job. That's why we go through valleys of dry bones, because you're not in there alone. You're in there because somebody else is there, and your job is to look around and stay off. Oh, woe is me. Why me, Lord? Oh, God. Remember that Stanford and Son? Oh, Weezy, here I come. This is the real one. You know, you remember that? He takes them by the hand. You see, this message is not how God's, listen, it's about how God sends you to the valley. So that you can raise dead bones.
Amen.
I've been picking on you on it a couple of times before. There's a reason for it. I have looked at you and I pointed at you. You have a mandate. Parate. Stand up. Connie? Connie, stand up. Woohoo! He is going to strengthen your body.
Come on.
You're not in the valley of dry bones. He's going to strengthen you. And I promise you, starting tonight, if you get before him, he is going to download, he's going to pour into you vision as to what to do with the things that you've been told about your body.
Thank you.
You're not in the valley of dry bones by yourself. In your pain and in your hurting, it's your job to take somebody like my daughter-in-law, who is not, you know, you take somebody like her, you take her by the hand, and you take her with you to the mountaintop.
Come on.
Instead of concern about our pain and about our desperate need, God, I will speak to those dry bones. Oh, there he is. Brother, you take that brother by the hand, and you minister to him. Why? Because not always about you. You ever think about that? You're going through the valley of dry bones. You ever think it's not about you? And the Lord is going to download on you. He's going to give you a fresh understanding what your job is in the body of Christ. And now you're going to have the choice to step into that. You're going to have the choice to get out of that boat and be just like Peter. And make a choice to keep your eyes focused on Yeshua, the author and the perfecter of your faith. Because if you take your eyes off, you'll be just like him. You're going to go under. But if you keep your eyes on him, you'll be able to walk all the way to him. That's what would happen to Peter if he'd have kept his eye on him. And he'll take the master's hand and you will walk together.
Amen.
That's you.
Come on.
Faithful are you. You make him smile. You make him smile. I'm going to give you a scripture that I want you to read this afternoon after church, whenever, not right now because I'm speaking. Zephaniah, somebody remind them. Yeah, they have to. Chapter 3, verse 17. Uh-huh. And when you get to the part where it says, and he rejoices over you with singing, which is how it ends. That word rejoice, if you look up the Hebrew word, it means gil. The Hebrew word is what? Gil, G-I-L. What's a Hebrew word?
Gil.
And what does it mean? He dances around you. He dances while he's singing a song of heaven over you.
Come on, Jesus.
You picture Jesus dancing? I do all the time. You make him smile.
Amen.
Can you guys stand up? Normally, when I speak at a church, it's real easy to want to speak to the leadership and everybody, you know. And so normally, I unless I really hear the Lord, I won't go to the leadership and give them a word. I go to the folks that simply love God as well, like the leadership. And the Lord, I'm always real sensitive to that. But, you know, this is one of those times when the Lord told me to have you stand up. You have graduated from the school of wisdom.
Wow.
It is a school that only he could have put together. The agendas and all that is conformed in this school of wisdom that comes from heaven. I made a comment yesterday afternoon. God doesn't lack in wisdom. I mean, he doesn't lack anything. I mean, if he ever thinks of something that he lacks, it's because he forgot. He never thought about it. But that's not him. And you see, you have graduated, the Lord says, from the school of wisdom and greater. You know, wisdom is being able to get all the information that you have gotten in your life and to get all those things and properly use them for the kingdom building. That's you. You are amazing in his eyes. You are amazing.
Talk about it.
And I think these people know. I think your family knows. If I've ever seen a man with a tender heart, which is the heart of the Father, is Pastor John. Like I said, I normally don't pick on the leadership, but today the Lord wanted me to have you stand up and tell you this. You have the Father's heart. You really do. You know how to give a godly embrace. He knows how to do the divine embrace. If he ever embraces you, receive it from the Father. And you know that God loves you. I'm going to be honest with you about something. I asked the Lord a long time ago, and we were in there, we were having lunch or whatever it was we were doing, but the food was in there. That's why I was here, right? Anyway, I'm just kidding. Anyway, I went home and I told the Lord, I want what Pastor John has. I asked him, I desire what I see in that man. Okay.
And I desire what
I know, man. Angels of heaven, orale. I want what this man has. I am inspired by you. I love what I see in you. I pray nobody takes that for granted. He has the Father's heart. And the Father, he is fierce, but he's tender and he's loving. That's the heart of the Father you see in this man. Come on. Usually when I give a word to the pastors or the leadership, it's always in private, to which I've done several times with Pastor Hander and Rosie. But you see, that's the message. Because God, I'm done here, by the way, I'm done. God will always accomplish his word. No matter what you're feeling like, no matter what you're going through, no matter how impossible the matters in your life look like. But I'm telling you something, the moment you speak life, they will not return to God void. It will produce the fruit that he wanted, the fruit to go out. And it will come to pass that what you say to those people, they will receive the benefit of his word in your life. You're amazing. You guys are amazing. That was a great word. That was an amazing word. I'm done. But don't ever forget that you are in a mandate. And whenever you speak the words of God into somebody's life, because it's not always about you, God will always bring the increase. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And when you start asking him, why me? Why me, Lord? I'm going to ask you to commit to something today. I know it's late. I don't even know what time it is. Oh, we got to 3:00, I heard. Anyway, maybe shift your focus and realize that you are that light in darkness.
Come on.
I copied that from Pastor John. He said that yesterday. It did. It struck me good. Because you're a carrier of the Holy Spirit. Wherever you step, he steps. Can you imagine that in your mind? Everywhere you go, every room you enter to, I'm going to tell you something. When you go into Fry's or you go into Safeway, the moment you walk in, I'm going to tell you what happens. Holy Spirit walks in with you. And all of the divine dynamics, all of the spiritual dynamics are hell loses all influence because you walked into a room. Because you are a carrier of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God tells me, don't you know that you are the what? Temple? I live in you. I live in power with you. What do you mean you're a victim of the devil? No, mija. Look at me. You are the temple of my presence, of my glory. So when you walk into a room, you go into a store, you are representing the master.
Yes.
You are representing the Holy Spirit and His power and His glory. If you only remember that the next time you go to Safeway. So you go over there, you're looking for the chile güeritos and the tomates and the cilantro because we're going to make some salsa. And then as you're going out, you see, hey, Bato, what happened, man? You know, don't forget, even in the midst of all that, you are a carrier of His glory.
Amen.
More, Lord, more.
I'm just saying.
Receive it.
It's time to start thinking different. Start thinking like a Christian. Don't think like a defeated Christian. And don't think like a worldly Christian either.
Come on.
That's sissy Christian. Come on, say it again. Don't get mad at me. That is sissy Christian. That means weak. You have the power of God inside of you. Walk like it. Act like it. Conduct yourself like it. Begin it at home with that woman you're sitting next to.
Amen.
There you go. Thank you, Lord. Pastor Rosie, can you come over here, please, and minister? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you hear what I'm saying? Your ministry, Don, Dan, Dean,
yeah.
Or Don, and Dan, okay. Your ministry begins at home. This is your family? Your ministry begins with them. Don't be a jerk at home and you're real kind when you come to church with people. I told you, those of you, Akimiha, right there. Hey, watch this. I'm going to tell you something really good. This is really, really good. Your ministry begins at home. Don't be a hypocrite by being real nice to the people at church and at work, especially your buddies. And when you go home, you find reasons to be mad at your wife or the kids. That's hypocrisy. Either you're a man or a woman of God or you're not. Don't play the game. Why? Because if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you carry the glory. And if you can imagine you carry the glory and you're mean to people, you're a gossip, and you're being nasty to people, and you carry on with the jokes that they carry on with. I know we're all work in progress. I know that. But if you've been a Christian for 5, 10, 12 years, and you're still doing it, there's a problem.
Amen.
Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, if you're a Christian for 1 or 2 years, órale, pues tú sabes, you know. I know that. I understand that. You're a carrier of the presence. I did say I was done, huh? Okay. Remember, there's someone with you in the valley that you're in. It's a dark place, I know. But there's a reason why you went there. There's a reason why God took you there. There's a reason why you're going through the difficult circumstance. There's a reason for it. Why? Instead of going, woe is me, your place is to say, send me, Lord. Here I am, and I will take them to the mountaintop.
Amen.
Everybody stand. Please stand. Pastor Henry gave me permission to go as long as I wanted.
Come on.
The valley of dry bones, it's the people that are addicted to drugs. The people in dry bones are the people that are addicted to pornography. The people in dry bones are the ones that want to commit suicide because they hate life and they hate their parents and they hate this. Those are the dry bones. God sent you into those dry bones for a reason. It's to take them by the hand and to take them up out of that addiction, out of that bondage, out of that depression. You are in that place for a reason, and that is to bring others out of that to the mountaintop, into the kingdom of God.
Jesus, yes.
Amen.
Speak faith. Speak to the bones. I'm going to say it again. Speak faith. Speak to the bones. You are in an assignment.
Yes.
Say with me. I am in an assignment.
I am in an assignment.
You can send me to the dry bones anytime you want. Say it.
I am in an assignment.
You can send me. Say it.
You can send me
into the valley, of dry bones,
anytime you want.
because I am at an assignment. Father, in the name of Yeshua, oh, Father, I pray for these precious people of yours. They're your kids. We are all your kids, Father, in heaven. If you're here today and you are not truly committed, maybe you got enough religion to make you feel good a little bit, you know, of Jesus, and but you still want living in the world, you need to get right with God, man. You need to get right with God. Why? Because God does not accept lukewarmness. God is not good on lukewarmness. Lukewarmness is something that the Lord is going to say, I will spew you out of my mouth. And so if you're here today and that's you, you don't want to be spit out by the Lord. You don't want to be vomited by the Lord, because being lukewarm, especially if you know you're lukewarm and you're okay with it, I fear for you. Because Yeshua made some very dreadful statements, and that is, I will vomit you out of my mouth. So if that's in any way you, or maybe you just need to get right with God. You're not a hypocrite. You're not all this, but you know you need to get right with God, and you need more. Listen, Pastor John mentioned it. It's not so much how much of God you have. Oh, God, fill me. No. He says, no. Let me control you. Let me control you. What's your name?
Rose.
Huh?
Rose.
I love that. Shoshana. Do you know that? That's in Hebrew. You're Rose. Shoshana.
Aww.
And she says, Shoshana, surrender yourself to me like you've never done before. I will raise you up. Let your family do and say what they want. But you will stand out and they will want to be just like you one day.
Glow in the dark, sister. Glow in the dark. Beautiful.
And you say, I want more, Lord.
Yes.
That's great. But I want to commit myself today to surrender more of me to you.
Yes.
And if that's you today, I want to pray with you. Is that okay? Can I pray with you?
Yes.
Can I pray for you? The rest of you, you can go home and have tacos and chiladas, whatever you're going to do. But if you want prayer, if you want to say, you know what, I need that commitment to the Lord, I want to pray for you. And the pastors and their wives will come, and they will all be in agreement. And you talk to them, and you tell them what you're up here for. And if you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, oh, come on, somebody. We had some people yesterday get baptized in the Holy Spirit. We have one brother. You saw him. He's, you know, he's crying. He's getting, you know. Right? You weren't there with us? And if you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, I'm asking you, consider getting empowered by the Holy Spirit. Oh, look at that 75-year-old be able to run. Oh, come on. I'm not 75. How old am I? I forgot how old I am. Anyway. Father, Pastor, you want to close?
No,
me?
I'll come up.
That's embarrassing. Okay. I'm shy.
You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.
That's right, buddy. Come on. Father, we give your service to you.
Amen.
Every word spoken to every person in this place today, Father, confirm that word.
Yes.
Confirm it in their lives.
Amen.
Dan, the Lord wants to confirm that in you. Where's Mijita? You are great in the eyes of God. You're amazing. You are. And as you get older, people are going to follow you. They're going to follow you. They want to be just like you. You understand? I am Cesar. What's your name?
Marky.
I mean, I got third names. I might as well get yours. I commit you to my Lord right now. If you need prayer, you need healing, listen, don't go be looking for a word when you go to a church. You have the word.
Right.
And don't be looking for a breakthrough. You are in your breakthrough.
Hallelujah.
You just have to learn to recognize it.
Yeah.
Right. I'm still preaching, huh? I got to stop. I got to pray. So, Father. What? What's your name?
Selena.
I can hear you.
Selena.
I'm an old man. Galena?
Selena.
Selena. What's your, how old are you?
I'm 16.
16? You're beautiful. Yeah. You're beautiful. But here's what I look for. Continue to be beautiful inside. The outer appearance, dime a dozen. Sorry. Every beautiful woman is like, dime a dozen. But not everybody carries the beauty of the Lord like you can. He's calling you into that. Don't be swayed by anybody to do anything other than stay beautiful on the inside. You are gorgeous. I commit you to the Lord in Yeshua's name. You need prayer? Come on up. See you another time. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. Praise God. Praise God. Stay right here. Hey, now you see what I had to put up with all my life. Amen. Praise God. Hey, let me just say this to you. When I say put up with, this man, every time I've gone to visit him, no matter what, this man's spoken into my life. And it is a thing of God. You know, when we lived in Bisbee, we lived on a mountain. On the mountain, the houses are stacked down the hill this way. We used to sit in my backyard. My next door neighbor, Mrs. Fur, she would be having Pentecostal meetings in her living room. Oh, wow. And we remember, we used to sit back there, ha ha, because we'd see them. We'd see them with their hands in the air and then they'd fall over. And we thought it was funny. We would make fun of it. It was me, him, Reuben, my little brother. God got a hold of every one of us. God knew. He saw it. I bet Mrs. Fur said, I see them boys out there. Yeah. Hey, let's pray in the Holy Ghost about these guys. Amen. Can I? When he got down on the floor and he prayed in the Spirit, let me just say, the creativity of the Holy Ghost can bring light into darkness. And it is disease that walks in the darkness. Do you get that? Praise God. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. You need prayer for sickness. You need any kind of prayer. Hey, now's the time. Pastor's here. Gloria's here. They'll pray for you. All right? Come on up. Praise God.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.